Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, April 18th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
we await the highly anticipated release of the Robert Mueller report.
Meanwhile, global stocks slide following weak PMI data out of Europe.
And lenders line up to acquire Commerce Bank should its talks with Deutsche Bank fail.
Democrats are calling for AG Barr to cancel his news conference scheduled before the Mueller report release. Plus, North Korea's Kim Jong-un supervises a test of a tactical weapon. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Brett Gardner, seventh inning grand slam, lifted the Yankees over the Red Sox. The Mets, ninth inning rally, fell short in Philadelphia.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Global stocks have been sliding this morning, but they're now paring some of those losses. Coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. U.S. futures still pointing to a slightly lower open on Wall Street. S&P futures down a point and a half, though. Dow futures down 39 points. NASDAQ futures down 4. The DAX in Germany up 0.5% now. The CAC in Paris up 0.3%. The FTSE in London down 0.25%. Price of the 10-year up 9/32. The yield 2.55%. Two-year Treasury yield 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 12 cents at $63.64 a barrel. COMEX gold, little changed, up 80 cents at $1,277.60 to the troy ounce. The euro at 1.1251 against the dollar. The yen at 111.92. John.
And Nathan, we begin with the highly anticipated release of the Mueller report. Attorney General William Barr will deliver a redacted version of the document to Congress following a press conference at 9:30 a.m. in Washington. Here with more on the document and its significance is Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
This redacted version of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report is expected to answer one of the most urgent remaining questions: why he declined to decide whether to charge President Trump with obstructing justice. The document might also reveal who on the campaign directed longtime Trump associate Roger Stone to communicate with WikiLeaks about information damaging to Hillary Clinton. The report is close to 400 pages, reflecting an investigation that issued more than 2,800 subpoenas and almost 500 search warrants. Mueller also provided a series of exhibits and testimony, but it's unclear if any of that will be released. President Trump's advisors have been preparing for unfavorable findings by assembling a rebuttal to the chain of events they believe Mueller may describe. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Gina, and we'll bring you Attorney General William Barr's press conference live on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time, plus all the details in that redacted report when it's released later this morning.
And meanwhile, President Trump says there could be word of a trade deal with China, quote, very shortly.
Our trade deal with China is moving along, and it's moving along nicely, and we're asking for a lot of things, and I have a feeling we'll be successful. And it'll be good for both countries, but that's moving along quite well.
And now for more on the timeline for negotiations, we turn to Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
Our sources say that the plan is to reach a deal by the early part of May. Then President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping could sign it later in the month. One of the options that's being considered is actually to have the signing summit in Japan. President Trump is due to go there in May, and he's going to meet the country's new emperor, Crown Prince Naruhito. In Hong Kong, I'm Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thanks a lot. That timeline, though, did little to boost stocks in Asia today. Bloomberg's David Inglis has details from our Hong Kong Bureau. David, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Regional benchmark was down 0.5%. The KOSPI in South Korea leading declines down 1.5% following the central bank, the Bank of Korea's fairly bleak assessment on growth and inflation. Japan was off by 1%. China off about 1/4. Australia closing flat. The only bright spot really was Indonesia, which reopened post-elections, and the Jakarta Composite there coming within about 2.5% of a new record high. In Hong Kong, I'm David Inglis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, David. In Europe, bonds are gaining. The euro is weaker after German manufacturing PMI came in below forecasts. A reading of 44.5 for April marks the fourth month of contraction. Meanwhile, a composite PMI for the entire euro area slid to 51.3. The data mark a weak start to the second quarter and reflect a sharp decline in new export orders.
And we're getting strong earnings from a couple of big names in Europe. Now, Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with details. Sebastian, good morning.
Good morning, John and Nathan. Particularly strong moves in the food and consumer discretionary sectors. We heard from Nestlé, which reported its best first quarter since 2016. Customers there still buying its products enthusiastically despite price hikes. And Unilever also beat analyst estimates, a positive performance in the home care business in particular, and gains, it says, driven by emerging markets, especially in Asia. Both of those stocks rising today. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. Meanwhile, potential suitors are lining up for Germany's Commerzbank in case merger talks fail with Deutsche Bank. Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans has that story.
Dutch lender ING has reached out to Commerzbank, and Bloomberg News has learned Italy's UniCredit is also weighing a potential bid. Sources also tell us Santander is interested in making an approach if the price is right. So is French lender Société Générale. BNP Paribas, meanwhile, is said to have already held talks with Commerzbank back in 2017. Now there's speculation BNP is once again considering M&A to accelerate its expansion. In London, I'm Leanne Gerrans, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Leanne, thank you. And back here in the U.S., succession plans are taking shape at J.P. Morgan Chase. The bank is shifting responsibilities for two senior executives seen as potential heirs to CEO Jamie Dimon. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet reports.
Chief Financial Officer Marianne Lake will become head of consumer lending, while Jen Piepsak, who previously led the cards business, will replace her as CFO. While J.P. Morgan is probably still years away from selecting its next leader, the shuffle will give Lake and Piepsak, both aged 49, opportunities to bolster the skills they need to lead the whole company. None of the six largest American banks has ever elevated a woman to CEO. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ futures down almost 6. The Stock 600 in Europe up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury yield 2.55%. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 6:07 on Wall Street. That is time for news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler says Attorney General William Barr is taking unprecedented steps to spin the special counsel's Russia investigation. Nadler takes exception to the Attorney General holding a press conference this morning before releasing Robert Mueller's findings and says the panel may issue subpoenas.
We'll have to take the time over the next couple of days to carefully read the redacted report so that we don't find out that, in fact, there's very little left out. But on the assumption that it's heavily redacted, we will most certainly issue the subpoenas in very short order.
Several top Democrats are calling for Barr to cancel his news conference, saying he's trying to control the narrative. President Trump has said that the Mueller report found no collusion or obstruction and provided total exoneration. You can hear Barr's press conference live at 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is planning to leave the Trump administration. According to two people familiar with the matter, Perry is finalizing the terms and timing of his departure. Just days after a fire at Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, there is troubling information from the NYPD. Officials say a 37-year-old man from New Jersey attempted to enter St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan last night with cans of gasoline and lighter fluid. NYPD Deputy Commissioner John Miller.
He is known to police, and we are looking into his background, obviously, talking to a couple of other agencies.
State media reports North Korean leader Kim Jong-un oversaw the test firing of a new type of tactical guided weapon. Bloomberg's Peter Pei has more from Seoul.
While the report was short on details, its disclosure suggested to analysts that Kim was signaling his displeasure with the stalled nuclear talks and was a way of sending a pointed message to the U.S. and its allies on the risk of re-escalating tensions on the Korean Peninsula if the talks are allowed to fall apart. In Seoul, Peter Pei, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:10 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, two early home runs for the Red Sox, but a big late one for the Yankees. J.D. Martinez, first inning. Christian Vasquez with a man on in the second for Boston off J. Happ. who's given up six homers this season, but Happ did settle down, kept the Yanks in it. And Brett Gardner came up, bases loaded, seventh inning.
And the right-hander deals.
Swung on, driven to deep right. It is high, it is far, it is gone. It's a grand slam. Let the Gardy party begin. Brett Gardner plants one in the right field seats. It is a grand salami. And the Yankees, down 3-1, now take a 5-3 lead.
And that was the final in the Bronx. John Sterling, WFAN. 100th homer of Gardner's career. The Red Sox, 19 games in last season, were 17-2. This year, 6-13. Mets, like the Yankees, trailed 3-1. Scored ninth inning, that the bases loaded. The rally fell short. They lost in Philadelphia 3-2. For the sixth time in the last 8 years, the Giants will open their season in Dallas. The Jets will host Buffalo week one, and the Bills will be back in MetLife week two for the Giants. Jets start with two home games. They've got a week two Monday nighter with Cleveland, so Odell Beckham will be back at MetLife. Jets and Giants will play November 10th. It's a Jets home game. Second straight night, three NBA playoff games won by home teams. Milwaukee and Houston easily. Boston needed a late rally to top Indiana. All three teams were up 2-0. Nets and Sixers are tied at one. Game three tonight in Brooklyn. The two top seeds of the Stanley Cup playoffs are a combined 1-7. Tampa Bay got swept. Calgary trails 3-1 after losing in overtime at Colorado. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. In other sports news, it is official. The Alliance of American Football is folding. The league has filed for bankruptcy after failing to secure a partnership with the NFL. The parent company of the AAF entered a Chapter 7 petition in a San Antonio bankruptcy court and says it's begun a liquidation process. The league was launched by television producer Charlie Ebersole and longtime NFL executive Bill Polian. Billionaire Tom Dundon later took control of the AAF. The filing comes 2 weeks after the league ceased operations. And Daybreak being brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Greenwich. They can help lower your lease payment. Ask about their multiple security deposit program to lower new car lease payments or drive retired loaner cars that qualify for lease and finance incentives. MercedesBenzGreenwich.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. stock futures are pairing declines as equities in Europe turn positive. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down a point and a half now. Dow futures down 35. NASDAQ futures down 3 points. The DAX in Germany up 0.5%. The CAC in Paris up 0.2%. Price the 10-year up 9/32, the yield 2.56%, 2-year treasury 2.38%. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. Attorney General William Barr will hold a news conference this morning at 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, which the Justice Department has said it will release later this morning. North Korea says it has test-fired a new type of tactical guided weapon, its first such test in nearly a half a year. In baseball, the Yankees down the Red Sox. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Nationals beat the Giants. The A's won. NBA, the Celtics have a 2-game-to-zip lead over the Pacers after last night's win. NHL playoffs, the Bruins beat the Leafs to tie the series at 2 games apiece. Global news 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. 6:18 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And ahead of Attorney General Barr's news conference at 9:30 Wall Street time, we're joined live by Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller. Wendy, always good to talk with you. And as we've been reporting, Attorney General Barr is going to hold his news conference before the Justice Department delivers the redacted Mueller report to Congress on a CD-ROM. What does that tell you?
Well, I mean, they want to get ahead of it. I think that Barr personally wants to clarify the comments that he's made about it. And I think there's a tremendous amount at stake here. There's a lot of investigations that have later petered out. Even Iran-Contra, you know, more than 20, 30 years ago, didn't really produce a lot of bang for the buck. So the question is, are these investigations warranted? Was it a witch hunt? Was Trump right? You know, it could give Trump a tremendous amount of momentum and power if in the end of the day, in the report, there's just never going to be a smoking gun. And I think Barr wants to set the stage to move forward for the president. In other words, now it's over. Let's judge the guy on how he can be the executive. So I think that's the point of the press conference. The question for Trump is, are there things in there that are really continuing to be unseemly about how he is president and how he uses his power?
Let's unpack a little bit there. You mentioned Barr would want to clarify comments he's made before. What specific comments does Barr need to clear up?
Well, I mean, his basic interpretation of the report, basically exonerating the president, you know, clearing him of these basic charges of collusion. But apparently there's dispute about whether the report contains enough evidence that suggested the president actively obstructed justice. You know, this is what got Nixon. You can argue, you know, in different ways, this is what got Clinton. And, you know, you think about this and you think, well, should there be a case that the president abused his power? And Barr's downplaying it, but maybe if you add up all the pieces of the Mueller report after you read the whole thing, you come to the conclusion that he did obstruct justice. The question, in the age of Trump, will anybody care about that? And is that a reason to sort of say the president ought to step down or be removed from office? So that's the question mark. It's the question mark for the Democrats. It's also the question mark for the Trump supporters.
Do you think many of these question marks will be answered, given the fact that Barr and the Justice Department have already said there are going to be four color-coded categories of redactions in this report?
Well, see, that's such a key point to make, because that's the thing the American people want. They just want to know exactly what happened. And if it looks like the Trump administration is continuing to stonewall, continuing to block things that are fairly innocuous, but they still don't want out there, that keeps the story going. That keeps the idea that he's done something wrong and he continues to do something wrong going. So that, to me, is a politically bad strategy. You know, if it's bad, Trump can explain it away. You know, if it's not illegal, they should just have everything out there, because anything that's hidden just contributes to the idea that the president is worried that he did something wrong, and he's trying to, you know, not let the American people see that. That's what will keep it going. And so, to me, that's a really big deal. What they've redacted, how they've redacted, for those people who care enough, and those people are suburban, well-educated independents, and those people are probably going to decide the election in 2020.
How will the release of this report lend itself to the ongoing investigations on Capitol Hill into the president, into his businesses?
I think it's a tough call for the Democrats. I think if this report really comes up with very little that directly says that the president colluded with the Russians, or that the Russians didn't give Trump all this money that people think that they have given him all these years, if there isn't enough evidence there, I think the Democrats are skating on thin ice. I think people will say, listen, enough is enough. It, you know, it didn't come up with anything. Well, you know, let's move forward. There's enough, if you're a Democrat, to go against Trump politically. You don't need this to continue your fight against the president. So that's a calculation the Democrats are going to have to make. And if they make the wrong one, I think it only feeds into Trump's momentum going into 2020.
And as you mentioned, I guess it depends on how much is redacted, how much many details we get that will lend itself into whether, A, the investigations continue, or B, whether those investigations head into the path of impeachment proceedings.
Yeah, I mean, I think the obstruction charge is a really key one. You know, did he, you know, he fired James Comey. People pretty much think he fired James Comey because he didn't want the Russia investigation to continue. But is that because he was protecting his son, protecting other people, or worried about impressions, or just overreacted? We just don't know. But whether there was an ongoing attempt to obstruct justice, that just seems at the moment that there isn't enough evidence about to prove, to even suggest strongly. And so that's a big thing. And when we think about this, if it ends up flattening out, then that contributes to Americans' mistrust of institutions and mistrust of investigations. And that is a long-term consequence, I think, that will be fairly damaging to the United States. So Democrats have to worry about that as well. If you keep going after something you can't prove, do you undermine the whole system?
Only about 30 seconds left, Wendy. What is the one overarching question reporters need to ask Attorney General Barr this morning?
Is he hiding anything? Are there things in this report that have been redacted that would be damaging to the president that he himself has chosen or decided to prevent from being released? And if so, why would he do that? What is he doing, and why is he doing that?
Again, Attorney General William Barr plans to hold a news conference at 9:30 Wall Street time on the release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian election interference with redactions in four categories. After that news conference, he is expected to deliver the report to Congress. That's expected between 11 and noon. We will have full coverage of the news conference again at 9:30 Wall Street time, followed by complete coverage of the release of the report itself throughout the day here on Bloomberg Radio. Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, thanks as always for your insights ahead of that event. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg.
We're brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are paring earlier losses. European equities are mixed now after weak manufacturing data out of Europe. The euro area economy started the second quarter with weakness in manufacturing spilling over into services. A purchasing managers index for the region dipped to 51.3 in April.
In the U.K., retail sales unexpectedly increased for a third consecutive month in March. The volume of goods sold in stores and online jumped 1.1% from February.
On the trade front, Bloomberg News has learned the U.S. and China are aiming to announce an agreement as early as May. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has details from Beijing.
The U.S.-China trade talks are in the final stretch. U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer plan to be back in Beijing for high-level talks the week of April 29th. If all goes well, China's chief negotiator, Liu He, will then head to Washington to finalize the deal. A presidential signing summit is being scheduled for late May. In Beijing, Tom McKenzie, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Tom. And we're getting strong earnings out of Europe from Nestle and Unilever. The consumer goods companies report first quarter sales growth that topped estimates. That is, then shares of Unilever up 3%, while Nestle is higher by about 1%.
TSMC is predicting another weak quarter for revenue growth. The Taiwanese chipmaker posted a 32% slide in first quarter profit as the smartphone market slows.
And here in the U.S., we get earnings from a dozen and a half companies today, including American Express. Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
Bloomberg Intelligence says American Express seems well-positioned to meet its revenue growth goals this year. Spending on corporate cards will likely remain robust, and confidence among high-income consumers is still strong. The extension of the company's contract with Delta Airlines could be a focus of the conference call with executives. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. And Pinterest has raised $1.4 billion in its initial public offering. The digital marketing company sold shares for $19, value the company at $10 billion. Now the stock starts trading on the New York Stock Exchange today.
And John, we just got earnings crossing the Bloomberg terminal from Honeywell. First quarter adjusted earnings per share beat average analyst estimates. The company is also boosting its yearly forecast. Now let's see how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes through the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures little changed. Dow futures down 21 points. NASDAQ futures little changed. 10-year Treasury yield 2.56%. 2-year at 2.38%. NYMEX crude oil down 4 cents, $63.72 a barrel. The euro at 1.1253 against the dollar. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Nathan. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Withum, a forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Attorney General William Barr plans to give a news conference at 9:30 Wall Street time this morning on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. The Justice Department says it will release the report after Barr's news conference. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
Democrats who've already complained to Barr's insistence on censoring the report now aren't happy with word it won't be delivered to Congress until after he holds his news conference. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler tweeted, "This is wrong." And once it is released, House Intelligence Committee member Danny Heck of Washington says, expect subpoenas and court challenges.
Why is it that at least the Intelligence Committee and the Judiciary Committee, both of whom are subjected to lots of top secret classified material, cannot review this material in its entirety?
For his part, President Trump praised Barr in a radio interview just ahead of the release, calling him a fantastic attorney general. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
You can hear Barr's press conference live right here on Bloomberg Radio. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un oversaw the test firing of a new type of tactical guided weapon. North Korea also demanded that Washington remove Secretary of State Mike Pompeo from nuclear negotiations. The Trump administration announced a number of restrictions on Cuba, including the Treasury Department to limiting travel to the country to family members only. National Security Advisor John Bolton says they also plan to reduce the amount of money Americans can send to Cubans.
We know that families in the United States want to help their loved ones in Cuba, and we want Cubans to get the support they need and deserve. For this reason, our new limits will be $1,000 per person per quarter.
The new limits are half of the current level of $8,000 per year. New York City is shrinking. Newly available Census Bureau population estimates indicate the Big Apple's population is getting smaller for the second year in a row. The 2018 population fell to around 8.4 million people. That is less than 77,000 people compared to 2016. Beyond the Big Apple, more people have fled New York State than any other over this decade, and that could cause a loss in congressional representation. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stenshower.
John, it's been a relatively slow start for the Yankees, decimated by injuries. They lost home series to the Orioles, Tigers, White Sox, but they're doing a whole lot better than the Red Sox, who are relatively healthy, won 108 games last season. Then the World Series, Boston, is 6-13, worst record in the American League. Blew a 3-0 lead. Brett Gardner's grand slam in the seventh inning lifted the Yanks to a 5-3 win, a sweep of the two-game set. Made Aaron Boone happy.
Took advantage of a pitch looked like out over the plate. Yeah, huge blow. The fact that we're able to hang around tonight, obviously getting behind, the fact that Jay was able to kind of settle in and really give us some quality innings after the first two innings. A lot of good things happened tonight, and the homer was obviously huge.
We referred to Jay Happ. The Yanks will host the Royals tonight. The Mets are off. They lost in Philadelphia 3-2. Jake Arrieta bested Zach Wheeler. Keon Broxton struck out with the bases loaded, two outs in the ninth. Jets will play the Giants this season. Schedule came out, and the game will be November 10th, a Jets home game. Jets will start with two straight at home. Buffalo, then Cleveland. That'll be a Monday nighter in week two. With the two second-year quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, the Giants, for the sixth time in the last 8 years, open the season in Dallas. In Brooklyn tonight, Nets and Sixers, Game 3, series tied at 1. The Red Sox may have lost last night, but the Celtics and Bruins both won. Celtics, a fourth-quarter rally to top Indiana and go up 2-0 in that NBA series, and the Bruins won 6-4 in Toronto to tie that Stanley Cup playoff series at 2. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. And we have some breaking news on Deutsche Bank crossing the terminal right now. Sources are telling Bloomberg the German lender is working on an alternative strategy, a plan B, to present to investors should takeover talks with Commerzbank collapse. For Deutsche Bank, there are fewer options available. The CEO, Christian Sewing, is considering two basic scenarios, a small update that would mainly consist of more cost cuts and a bigger strategy shift that would create upfront costs. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
President Trump seems determined to make it easier to export firearms and harder to keep track of whether they're destined for terrorists or rogue regimes. He proposes to do this by shifting oversight of the export of semi-automatic and non-automatic firearms from the State Department to the Commerce Department. The change threatens to undermine national security and public safety around the world. The U.S. is already the world's biggest firearms exporter, and some guns have ended up with al-Qaeda fighters and other terrorists. Even now, State Department licensing officers too often approve questionable applications. Under the Commerce Department, such lapses stand to become more frequent because Commerce lacks the specialized staff and expertise to vet arms sales. Democrats in the House are proposing legislation to block the change. Congress should pass it without delay. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. As President Trump pushes to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, doing so would throw out a key component of his separate effort to stop rising drug prices. Nancy Lyons has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Buried in the ACA is a provision that allows a streamlined approval process for drugs that mimic expensive biologics.
Biologics are the most expensive drugs on the market, and biosimilars were expected to save billions of dollars for patients.
Bloomberg Law's Jackie Lee says consumers might end up missing out if the streamlined process goes away.
When you have to get a biologic or any drug approved, you have to go through clinical trials, and it's a lot more expensive and time-consuming to do that. So a drug company might say, hey, that's not worth it. I'm just not going to push for this biologic drug.
In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
And it's now 6:40 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Small businesses in the U.S. have a mixed outlook for this year. An annual study conducted by the Federal Reserve's 12 regional banks shows the outlook for 2019 is more tempered as net shares of small firms anticipating adding jobs to their payrolls fell to 38% from 43% in last year's survey. For 2019, 72% of small firms polled expected revenues to increase. The study also finds nearly two-thirds of firms faced financial challenges, including paying bills and getting access to credit. Now that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. S&P futures are down 1 point. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Burden LLP. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are pairing earlier losses. Let's head right over to the First Red Breaking News desk for today's morning call. Good morning, Bill Maloney.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. U.S. futures, modest losses right now. Dow futures down 44 points. S&P's dropped 2, and NASDAQ futures declined by 5. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.56%. Oil is little changed. And Asia markets fell overnight. Note that Taiwan semi missed estimates and forecast a weak second quarter. European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, Philly Fed, and initial jobs claims. At 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, leading index and business inventories. After the bell last night, Alcoa cut its aluminum consumption forecast. And regarding earnings this morning, Danaher cut 2019 EPS views. Honeywell boosted its forecast for the year. And look for Philip Morris to report around 7 a.m., American Express around 7:30. In other news, Pinterest priced at $19 a share. And in deal news, Canopy Growth is said near a deal to acquire Acreage Holdings. Wrapping things up, Morgan Stanley was downgraded to neutral over at Citigroup. Ecolab upgraded to buy at Nomura Instant. And Avery Dennison cut to underweight over at J.P. Morgan. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
All right, Bill, thank you. We're getting more details on the future of Deutsche Bank. Sources tell Bloomberg the German lender is working on an alternative strategy to present to investors should takeover talks with Commerzbank collapse. CEO Christian Sewing is considering two basic scenarios, a small update that would mainly consist of more cost cuts and a bigger strategy shift that would create upfront costs for Deutsche Bank. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type SQAWK on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's happening around the world, here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Democrats are criticizing Attorney General William Barr's handling of the Mueller report ahead of this morning's release of the redacted version of the special counsel's findings. Barr plans to hold a news conference ahead of the report's release. Bloomberg Radio will carry Barr's news conference live at 9:30 a.m. Wall Street time. In baseball, the Yankees downed the Red Sox 5-3. The Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Nationals beat the Giants. The A's won. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics have a 2-game-to-zip lead over the Pacers after last night's win. In the NHL playoffs, the Bruins beat the Leafs to tie the series at 2 games apiece. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, how about some Southern comfort? The southern and western regions of the U.S. saw the largest population growth in the past year, mostly because of warmer weather, lower prices, and more living space. The Dallas-Fort Worth-Arlington metro area had the biggest uptick, according to the census data. Meanwhile, John, New York, Newark, New Jersey City, Los Angeles, Long Beach, Anaheim, and Chicago, Naperville all shrank.
Reversal of a trend, I would posit, from a period in U.S. history when jobs were not so plentiful.
Very true. Very true. I remember when Detroit was very popular and everybody used to go there. I had to get Detroit.
From South.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
And, Michael, thank you. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. And that is time to check on what's going on in D.C. from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios this morning. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include, of course, the Mueller report due out this morning. What should you look for in the redacted report? House Democrats' investigations into President Trump's finances move forward. North Korea demands Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's removal from the nuclear talks. And Rick Perry said to plan his exit as the president's energy secretary. Let's dig deeper into these stories this morning with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning to you. Of course, let's start off with William Barr, the attorney general, releasing the redacted version of special counsel Robert Mueller's final report. Is this likely to satisfy everyone or anyone?
In a word, I would say probably not, or I guess that's two words. But I think certainly Mueller's, the release of Mueller's report today is going to be the marquee event in Washington. Everyone's going to be watching it very, very closely. We don't yet know how much information is going to be redacted. We know broad categories that Barr has said that he's going to keep withheld. And those, we expect those to be color-coded based on classified information, grand jury testimony, and an effort to protect some private individuals who were, in Barr's words, peripheral to the investigation. I think even though we know those categories, what that translates to in terms of how much of the report is actually kept secret, I think is going to be a big determining factor in both how much we find out today and how strongly Democrats potentially fight back against the Justice Department and its handling of this issue.
Mr. Barr plans to brief reporters ahead of releasing this report. Why is that drawing criticism?
So Democrats are saying essentially, look, here we are, you know, several weeks, 3 weeks plus after Mueller submitted his report to the attorney general. And all we've seen so far is a 4-page summary, which is essentially represents Barr's interpretation of the report. And so Democrats are arguing that Barr, by choosing to hold a press conference, Barr is again giving himself an opportunity to provide his interpretation, potentially spin what is in the report. And so they're saying essentially just let us see the report. Let's let people read it and judge for themselves.
There was a piece, an interesting piece in the Washington Post maybe the Trump administration will be combing over this to clues as to who within the administration told the truth, and they may face the president's wrath. Any truth to that?
I mean, I think certainly all along there's been some evidence that there's anxiety and some hand-wringing within the ranks of current and former White House staffers, because a lot of these folks were interviewed, by all accounts, by Mueller and his team for this investigation. And again, this goes to the question of how much of that information was included in Mueller's report and how much of the information that was included potentially was redacted. And so certainly I think that, you know, when this report comes out this morning, a lot of White House staffers, current and former, are going to be, hitting search go and looking for their names to see if they're included.
Remind us how long this is going to be. What kind of a read am I in for this morning?
So by all accounts, it's going to be close to 400 pages. Now, again, if it's close to 400 pages, but 90% of it's redacted, it might be a quick read. If, you know, just a small portion of it's redacted, it could take people, you know, quite a long time to pore over and to digest.
Dumb question, but are we ever going to hear from Mueller or his people?
Well, this came up just a few moments ago because we just got a statement from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the top two Democrats in Congress, calling on Mueller to testify publicly in both chambers as soon as possible, essentially saying, again, criticizing Barr's handling of this matter and essentially saying that it's caused a crisis of confidence in terms of the American public's view of how these things are handled, and saying that that necessitates the public hearing from Mueller directly, quickly. And so I think that's going to be the next push. Now, whether Mueller's amenable to that, whether the Justice Department is amenable to that, how quickly Democrats are able to make that happen, I think remains an open question, and again, hinges somewhat on what we find out today. But certainly, I think there will, one way or another, be a push to get Mueller into the witness chair pretty quickly.
Okay, maybe more than tangential to this story, Democrats are sending subpoenas in a probe of Mr. Trump's finances. Who's getting a subpoena?
So it's nine big banks, just sort of, Deutsche Bank and everybody else, sort of the big names that you would imagine. And this goes to the question of different inquiries that kind of spun off of Mueller's original inquiry. And among them are questions about Trump's finances and also questions, about loans that he may have received, money that he may have gotten during the campaign and afterwards, and whether those would illustrate any ties with Russia as well. So that's kind of how it's tangentially related. And that's one of the questions that Democrats, I think, are very keen to answer. And so we're seeing them exercise their oversight and subpoena authority that they now have as part of their House majority to try to get a hold of some additional information on that front.
Wasn't this covered in the Mueller probe, though?
I mean, yes, I do think this is an aspect of what Mueller looked into. It came out in the indictment of Roger Stone and some others where it was mentioned briefly or at least touched upon. But I think that, again, just because Mueller's concluded his investigation in the minds of Democrats doesn't mean that they have to include their own. And if anything, I think a lot of Democrats view the Mueller report as a jumping off point for their own probes.
And a reminder, 9:30, we're going to have that Wall Street time live, the news conference from the AG. Kathleen, thanks a lot. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. Reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Residents of a village in Russia's far eastern Kamchatka Peninsula were stunned by the sight of a wrong-way polar bear prowling for food hundreds of miles away from its usual habitat. Russian media report the exhausted-looking animal somehow ended up in a village more than 400 miles south of where it should be. Russian environmentalists from Greenpeace are suggesting the bear might have lost its sense of direction while drifting on an ice floe. As the Arctic gets warmer, ice is receding, sending polar bears looking for better hunting environments. Their dependence on sea ice makes them highly vulnerable to global warming. Shrinking Arctic ice cover could increasingly deprive them of their usual prey, seals. Russian media report locals have been making the bear feel welcome, giving it fish. Authorities in Kamchatka are preparing a rescue effort later this week. They plan to use a sedative to put the bear to sleep and then airlift it by helicopter. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. S&P futures down a point and a half right now. Dow futures down 29 points. NASDAQ futures down 4. Stock 600 in Europe up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury yield 2.55%. 2-year Treasuries 2.37%. And the 30-year yields 2.97%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.